I speak to you in the name of God. Amen. Before I start my sermon, just want to call your attention to the reading from Hebrews, which says we should consider how to provoke one another. It says to love and good deeds, but now you have biblical warrant to provoke each other. I'm kidding. I think. Do you suppose that Mark was actually a woman? I only ask because we have just heard wars, earthquakes, and general upheaval and turmoil compared to birth pangs. And while I can't speak for all men, birth pangs is not a metaphor I would have used to imagine the end of things. Since I only know one woman intimately who has experienced birth pangs, I ask my wife what they're like. I don't even know about birth pangs vicariously. My two sons are now 52 and 44. And in those days, fathers were scooted out the door before birth pangs even began. I was watching the Bill Cosby show when they came to tell me that my firstborn son was here and well. And when my younger son was born, I was at home with my older son. The doctor had told us to go home, and they would call us when it was time. Today, fathers stand close by, holding hands, coaching, breathing, praying, probably getting in the way, and at least vicariously knowing something of the nature of birth pangs. Those who know, including my wife, say that the world seems to stop, that you don't know if you'll get to the other side. They say Mark's analogy is right on the mark. And that makes me wonder if Mark was a woman who knew such things from the inside and could imagine God's power to bring life out of disaster as the beginning of birth. But if birth pangs are a painful antiphon to new life, it is providential that we have heard this passage from Mark, whoever he or she might be, this morning. We are bringing our pledges to the altar today. We are praying for the beginning of new life at St. Catherine's. We are awaiting the arrival of our new rector. We are remembering the painful months of the last year and a half when we were afraid, worried, angry, unsure, and wanted it to end. Last week, we renewed our baptismal vows, calling to mind our new birth in the waters of baptism. We don't remember how we experienced our own natural birth. Either we've forgotten the birth pangs, or they weren't so bad for us being born. But birth is happening this morning, and somewhere the birth pangs are overtaking the world, and God is about to do something new. There certainly are wars and unrest all over. Just in Haiti, where our friend Father Pierre Auguste and the people of Saint-Sauveur Parish are struggling to survive and make it through earthquake, gang violence, unrest, poverty, and turmoil. Mark writes as if he or she were living now and not centuries ago. The birth pangs are still with us, as if you didn't already know. We are still at the beginning of something new, something with new life on the other side. Though the water is cold and the current swift, said Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, there is life on the other side. So without apology and with only God's assurance to trust, we endure the birth pangs together, wishing for them to stop, knowing that they cannot cease until it's time. When I talk with my wife about her experience of giving birth to our sons, there's always a moment when words fail, and there is an unshareable memory of pain and joy. I love to hear the stories, especially since I've always regretted that fathers were not allowed to be close during birth in those old days. Yet the birth pangs lie beyond my experience. But every woman says that the birth pangs stop at once when life has entered the world. And that is why the pangs are anticipated and endured. In ancient Israel, Hannah poured out her soul before the Lord, hoping for a child. They thought she was drunk from the fervor of her prayer, but she only wanted to bear life into the world, like all women since the dawn of time, like Mary of Nazareth, like the mother of my sons, like Jesus himself. Now, Jesus could not give birth, of course, so he imagined birth, told his closest friends not to despair when the pangs began, insisted they were necessary for God to restore life and hope. He might have listened, he probably did listen to his mother speak about his own birth, which surely must have been accompanied by birth pangs. This whole sermon is kind of weird to preach, I have to tell you, because I feel a little fraudulent trying to speak about birth pangs. I may have reached uncanonical limits in wondering if Mark was a woman, but it is no doubt time for us to listen to the women of the world. Too much of the story has been told by men. So, men, listen to the women. Women, those of you that have given birth, remember the birth pangs. Understand that new life, remember and tell us that new life does not arrive absent pain. Recognize that there will be times we doubt that we will survive the pangs. But take this gospel with you as you leave church today. Remember that on this day, when the wars and rumors of wars, the earthquakes and famines were prowling the earth, we laid our pledges upon the altar. We remembered our baptismal birth pangs. We believed that birth pangs are merely the herald of new life. We trusted in God to deliver us to a new place. We hoped in that which is still to come. And we rejoiced that this is just the beginning with the one who makes all things new. Amen.